We started yesterday at the end of Shir the Mishnah. That's the second Mishnah on Daf Mem Amud Aleph. The previous Gemara had given a lot of praise to Rabbi Lozer, who paskened like his Rebbe, and that's Rabbi Akiva, that in a case of Nisarsu and Nisgarsha, Knosal Yatzma.
Which one of you, Elazar, is this?
This is Rabbi Lozer in the first Mishnah.
That's no, what, I understand. Ben or... what's his full name?
I think it could be Rabbi Lozer ben Hurkanus. I'm not positive.
Okay. Thank you.
But he was the Talmud Muvak of Rabbi Akiva, and in this case, he certainly accepted his Rebbe Shita, and that is that with Nisarsa and Nisgarsha, she gets her Knas, and that's Lafuke two other Shitas. There's Rabbi Akiva in the Brisa who holds that the father gets the Knas, and then there's Rabbi Yosef Glili who says that there is no Knas at all in the case of Naras and Nisars. In a certain sense, you know, Rabbi Akiva and Mishnah, who Rabbi Lozer accepts, is a middle of the road sheep. He's like a compromise. Because on the one hand, he accepts as a Knas, but he's not going to say that nothing changed over here, like Rabbi Akiva and the Brisa, but rather she gets the Knas. Okay, that was yesterday's discussion. And then we started the discussion about what I call additional payments, which is the subject of the second Mishnah. Additional payments means that in the cases of Ones Umefate, besides the Knas, which is Chavishim Shkolim, that's set, there are other payments which we said are, in the case of Ones Umefate, common to both Ones Umefate would be Boshes Upagam, which we'll explain. And in the case of Ones, there's an additional payment called Tsar. So what is Boshes and what is Pagam? And we touched on this, I think it was last week, and we said that Boshes means that as a result of this action that took place, she suffers embarrassment. And the question is, how much would a person be willing to pay in order to avoid that embarrassment? So we're going to talk now about Boshes and Pagam, and the Mishnah says the following. Boshes is hakol lefi hamivayish v'hamizbayish. And Rashi says, what does this mean, hakol lefi hamivayish? We'll just read Rashi first. Adam beinani hamivayish boshto kasha me adam zolel u'me adam chashuv. Which I think means the following, that there are three categories of individuals. Again, the general categories, you could really, you know, even within each category, you could probably break it down. But the categories are Adam Zolel, who from a perspective of the way he behaves and his lifestyle, he's on the low echelon. You know, he's low on the totem pole. Zolel means he's a pleasure seeker, and he lives a base kind of life, not a very sensitive soul. Then you have an Adam Chashev, he's on the top of the totem pole. Now you would think that these are two polar extremes, which they are, Adam Zolel and Adam Choshev. And therefore you would think that that impacts on how much Boshes she suffers, and maybe would suggest that from an Adam Zolel she suffers more Boshes through this act of Ones Umefate. Or maybe on the contrary, from the fact that it's an Adam Zolel, it's less of a Boshes. Adam Choshev, is that more of a Boshes, less of a Boshes? But in any event, Rashi takes Adam Zolel and Adam Choshev, and he puts them relative to what's called an Adam Bein, and he puts them low on the totem pole, which means in a scale from 0 to 100, let's say an Adam Bein, we pay 100 for the Boshes that she suffered. In the cases of Adam Zolel and Adam Choshev, let's say the payment would be 50. Instead of 100. So an Adam Beinoni will pay 100 for his Boshes, because that's how much Boshes he suffers. In the cases of Zolel V'choshev, then it's only 50. I'm just throwing out numbers.
Yeah, but he doesn't really expand on this.
So that's what we did yesterday, if you recall. We quoted the Marshal, the Yamshel Shlomo. So I looked it over again today. I'm a drop smarter. I'm not there yet. I can't tell you that I have it all down pat.
Well, I feel better now.
But I think what he's saying is the following. That Rashi's equating an Adam Zolel and an Adam Choshev in the following sense. Both of them for different reasons, will create, will generate a low case boshes. In the case of an Adonim Zolel, Rashi says that the boshes is limited because it's very much not related to her per se, meaning she just was a victim, but there was no relationship necessarily between him and her, as if to say that he dafka wanted to do this act, you know, against her. He's a pleasure seeker. That's what it is, and that's his life. And the first opportunity he gets, whoever comes along, he'll take advantage of that. In that sense, the personal affront is a little bit less severe than someone who may have actually chosen her as a target. Then we talk about Adam Choshev. Adam Choshev, at the end of the day, again, I'm going to say things that will sound strange to your ears, but she can boast that she had a relationship with him, so to speak. Again, that's not the kind of relationship she had intended to have, and certainly that's not what she was looking for. But to some extent, the boshes element is lower because of his higher status. It's like an inverse relationship. You know, she was taken by the mayor of the city. You know, it's a major city in the world. And again, it's not good news for her. I'm not saying that. But, you know, to have a beer with a lowlife, you know, that's really embarrassing. But in this case, I don't want to go into modern American history with presidents who had relationships with women, you know, and they were almost impeached for it. But the world could live with a president of the United States that has a low kind of relationship, you know. But the woman herself, you know, well, she had a relationship with the president. You know, again, that's, I don't know what that's worth, but Rashi says it's worth something. In the case of another Benini, on the contrary, the element of boshes is increased relative to the other two cases because you don't have neither this element of she was just she was walking down the street or wherever she was walking through the park. You know, there was more of a deliberate affront or attack to her. You know, because he's not a total gluttonous pleasure seeker who couldn't care less at the lowest of the low. But on the other hand, she cannot boast that, you know, who knows who. So the boshes element here is greater. And I say this because the Amshel Shlomo adds another element into the equation. Besides talking about the Adam Zolel, he says, as mitok zilzulo v'tigburas yitzro, that he's only interested in his yitzer. He adds another variable here, and he says that there's an element of kavana lefogma, and he says that in the case of the Adam Choshev, he was just overwhelmed by whatever it was. But in the case of Adam Benini, there's also a motivating factor called hiskavin lepogma. Mm-hmm. And that means that there's an element of violence almost in what he was doing, mm-hmm, in the case of Adam Benini. So it's not just pure, oh, he was overwhelmed, you know, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. In any event, it becomes clear from Rashi that we're talking about different levels. I call it the relativity theory of boshes. Mm-hmm. And number one, the mavayish, that's one element that enters into the equation, meaning the fact that the mavayish is on this level or that level, what motivated him, that's going to reflect on different severities of boshes, different levels of boshes. And boshes means how much would you pay to avoid that boshes. Obviously, the more profound the humiliation is, the more you'd pay for avoiding it. Then there's another variable that the Mishnah establishes, that's called the Mizbayish. Now, if she's a princess, you can imagine, you know, when the word gets out and it's splashed on the front covers of the local rag, you know, and she had this relationship with a Zhlob here who raped her and so on. You can't even imagine what her life would be like and the torment that she goes through because she's the princess. But if, on the other hand, she's a, shall we say, a regular, you know, rank and file citizen, then the, relative to the chashivus of a bas malka, you know, of a malka, a bas melech, her voshes is relatively limited. But in any event, what's important is here that boshes is relative. There's no set price for boshes. It really depends on many different factors. I would be hesitant to try to sit on a bezdin and try to determine the boshes. There's so many elements here. I don't know. It almost seems beyond human capability to put a price tag on boshes.
Is it? Does the Gemara go into details about price fixing for this?
The perek that you want to learn is perek achovel, which is in Bava Kamma, and that's, I think, the 8th parak of Bava Kamma. Now, the reason why I point out to you that it's important that you know that there's a parak in Shas called HaChovel, because what's happening here is that there are two prakim in Shas. One is called Elu Nairis, that's focused almost exclusively on Knas, and then there's a parak called HaChovel, which is focused on not a naira absula, but on any assault and the compensation for assault, and the five categories.
Mamon, basically. Mamon of Nezikim.
Right, and what's important here is that we have to realize these are two separate parashas in the Torah.
Mm-hmm.
There's one parasha in the Torah called Chovel B'Chavero, and there's another parasha, and that's a mishpat. And then there's another parasha which is called Onas U'Mefata with Knas, and there happens to be an overlap. We shouldn't confuse the two. Mm-hmm. There's certain laws that are generated by the fact that it's an Onas U'Mefata situation, and to some extent, Onas U'Mefata is also an application or a case in point of general Nezikin of Chovel, which comes from a different parasha in the Torah. And the reason I emphasize this is because you might argue that maybe if the Torah in the parasha of Knas says that you pay for Kamishim Shkolim, maybe that's the final penalty. And that's it. You know, it's all
that the sins of the Gemara?
This is going to be the sugya of the Gemara. I'm just giving you a preview of coming attractions. But I can see why the Gemara is bothered by this. There's a parasha called Onas U'Mefata. In the case of Onas U'Mefata, the Torah says exactly what he pays. But the answer is that this is an overlap. This parasha is describing a scenario which also at the same time fits into the parasha of Chovel. And there's no reason why we should remove her from the parasha of Chovel, meaning she's a Nichbeles, and the Chiyuvim of a Chovel should apply to her as well. And that's exactly what the Mishnah wants to be Mechadish. Don't think that the Torah in the parasha of Knas is replacing the parasha of Chovel. It's an addition and not a replacement. Now, what's Pagam? So this is a little bit baffling also. You know, if we survive Boshes, I don't know, Pagam is even more baffling in a sense, because the Mishnah says, Ro'en osa ke'ilu hi shivcha nimkeres b'shuk kama hoisa yofa v'kama hi yofa. Now, I don't know, maybe, I don't know if you have, maybe Jerry, in your commentary, what does the word shivcha mean in this context? I'm baffled by this, because the word shivcha is a technical term in Shas, in all Mishnayos, that refers to a non-Jewish woman who became a shivcha. That's called a shivcha knanis. I don't believe for 1 minute that that's what the Mishnah is talking about here. We're talking about a Jewish girl. She's not sold as a shivcha knanis. I think that the word shivcha has a more generic term, and in this case, if you want to really carve it out, it really means something else. It means an omavriya. An omavriya has special dinim, but one thing that's very important, I think, in omavriya, and again, I was expecting someone to comment on this, I didn't find it, is that there's something called yud. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, that's when the master arranges his her betrothal, I guess.
Correct, a betrothal to his son, for example, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, I think the difference between what he can get on the market, you know, put a price tag as an Amma, right? Again, she's an Arab Rasa, so she can... I'm sorry, she's an Arab Sula, so as an Arab Sula, he can get a better price for her as an Amavriya because of the Yud element than if she's a Ba'ula.
Now, in that case, Yafad doesn't necessarily mean physical beauty. Because that's not necessarily impacted by rape.
Right. What, you're talking about Pagam now? Yeah, I don't
know.
Yeah,
think... when it says Yafad. Yeah, in
wait a minute. No, Yafa means how much she's worth. The word Yafa is the same as Shava.
Ah,
has nothing to do with physical beauty.
Thank you.
How much Yafa is she Bashuk? How desirable she is on the Shuk, which means that the price goes up. And she was worth as a Basula a lot more than she's worth as a Ba'ula. And again, only because the Oma Ivriya relationship could express itself in intimacy, in a marriage relationship.
Okay.
That's my take on this. I can't quote any sources for this. That's the problem that I'm facing here.
Mm-hmm.
But once again, you know, we're talking about the overlap between two different parashiyas. There's a parasha of Onus u'Mafata, and that generates a knas of Chamishim Shkolin. And in the same time, she belongs to categorically to a different parasha called Chovel b'Chavero. And in the parasha of Chovel b'Chavero, there's a Mishnah Bava Kama that says that if you knock off somebody's arm, Chas v'Shalom, right, so you have to pay, because if you were to sell this person on the shuk without an arm, you know, you'll get a fraction of the price. So that differential in price is the way that we shots up. You know, we evaluate how much is the nezek itself, correct?
Right.
And that applies here to the case of an anusa mafuta. She's now a ba'ula, and there's an element here of pagam. Then the Mishnah goes on to say that knas shav b'chol adam, but all those relativity theories are irrelevant to knas. Knas in the parasha Onus u'Mafata is set, it's standard, it's uniform, and it's chamishim shekelim. It doesn't matter whether she's the bas malka or whether she's a rank and file citizen. She collects that knas of chamishim shekelim. And then the Mishnah goes on to universalize this halacha that knas is objective. The chol sheyesh lo kitzvah min haTorah shava b'chol adam. That whenever the Torah sets an amount, that applies to everyone. So, for example, you can have a parsha of motzi sheimran. The Torah says you pay 100 shloim as a knas. So it doesn't matter who this girl is or who the father is.
I don't care if the guy's missing an arm.
Excellent. Erechin is going to be set. You know, there's certain elements in Erechin which are contingent, you know, like, for example, the gender or the age. But other than that, now in the case of an Eved, what's the case of an Eved? Let's say if my Shar, let's say it's a Sharbuot, it's already has a record as a belligerent animal, and then it kills your Eved. So I have to pay you what's called shloshim shkolim. That's a little bit less than what you pay in Onus u'Mafata, which is that itself is something that should arouse our curiosity. Why the Torah set the knas for a dead eved? You know, you think that's a lot worse than Onus u'Mafata, and yet the Torah said it's only shloshim shkolim. Again, he's an eved kanani, but still he has the status of a Jew to many respects. But the point of the Mishnah is that the shloshim shkolim is not relative; it's absolute. So we're not going to take a look at the eved and say, "Well, what would this eved be worth on the market? He's an alta guy, and he's sick, and he's in bed, and he hardly works. He's a shlub. He's lazy. Well, maybe he's a very sophisticated eved. Maybe he's a computer programmer. You know, people would pay for this eved. Who knows what? It's all set. It's shloshim shkolim." And what the Gemara is about to embark upon, I'm just giving you a sort of like a preview, is what about the additional payments? So it's in the case of Onus u'Mafata, we say that there are relative payments that have to be added, and the relativity theory means hakol lefi this, hakol lefi that. Why not take into consideration in the case of Eved the normal, you know, the normal chavola, excuse me, the chavola machayvim, which are relative because the Eved was worth this, he was worth that. No, all, when it comes to Eved, it's just simply shloshim shkolim. That's an all-inclusive price. The penalty is set, and you don't add anything to the penalty. And he quotes here in the footnote a Magen Giborim who says that there's a real chiddush here, because in the case of Anusa Mefuta, and the Torah says you pay a knas of 50 shkolim, so the Torah says that's what the Mishnah established, that in addition to the chamishim shkolim, there's also boshes ubegam. But the chiddush of Eved here that the Mishnah wants to emphasize is that there's just shaloshim shkolim, and it's shavah b'shavah. And don't think that shloshim shkolim is just a guidelines, you know, and it really is relative. No, shloshim shkolim is set, and it's absolute. Frank the Gemara, Emo, why don't we say Chamishim Slaim, Omrachmana, Mikol Mili? We have a parasha called Onus of Afata. Maybe this parasha is replacing the parasha of Chavola and completely neutralizing and undermining the normal Chiyuvim that you would pay as a Chovel. Oh. So leave out Boshes Ubegam. You must have a source for this.
Okay.
And this is going to be a major plug there between Rabbi Zera and Abaye. And Abaye is going to say that we have to have a drasha, we have to have some sort of yalfusa that teaches us that the chamishim sloim of onus of afata, that is in addition to chovel, because when I read the parasha of onus of afata, I have the right to conclude that the Torah is giving me this payment of chamishim shkolim, and that's all inclusive. And that's the Torah, the way the Torah evaluates it, without considering any additional payments. So let's read the pasuk. The pasuk says, "V'nasana ish ashochevi ma lavia nara chamishim kasev velosia leisha." There's no indication whatsoever in the parasha of Onus that there are additional payments beyond the knas of chamishim shkolim. Why then does the Mishnah conclude that there are additional payments called Boshes Ubegam? What's the source for that? And this is, in a sense, this is very typical of Shas when the Gemara asks me not immediately. The Mishnah establishes a rule, a principle, and where is it based on? The Pella in this Sugya, and that's what makes it a very unique Sugya, is that Rabbi Zera says it's a Svara. That the Mishnah knew this because of logic, not because of a pasuk. And again, as I told you before, Abai is going to go ballistic on this. There's got to be Yalfusa, says Abai. But Rav Zera is very comfortable in assuming that this is a logical principle. Because Yomru, so you have to read this with the inflection of a question. You know, it's a rhetorical question. Could it be Yomru Shebal Bas Molochim, if he had this relationship of Onus and Mafata with the daughter of the king, Chamisha, that's going to be the set price, and Baal Bas had Yotos, but if he had a relationship with a rank and file, as we call it, a regular girl, is Chamisha the same 50? In other words, logically, there's something that irritates our mind, perhaps even our ethical intuitive sense. How could it be that the Boshes of a Bas Malachim is not at all taken into consideration? You're saying it's a 50 all-inclusive penalty, and in the case of the Bas Malachim, look what it does to her psychological state and perhaps her reputation as a princess. You can't even begin to imagine what kind of level of boshes, a profound humiliation and experience she goes through. And now you can tell me that it's all included in the Chamishim Shkolim, the same Chamishim Shkolim, which is the all-inclusive penalty for Abbas and Yotos, whose boshes is very limited. Now, if you take a look at Rashi, Dibra Masli Yomru, which is about four lines up from the bottom of your page, he says, Heichanu Achiluk Shebeinayim, how could it be that the penalty doesn't reflect the difference? Eitzel boshes. Hilkoch Yahiv Boshes. There must be a payment to Boshes, because otherwise the Chamishim Shkolim doesn't reflect the Boshes element, which is a very profound and very expensive kind of penalty in the case of a Bas Malachim. But the interesting thing about Rashi is that Rashi puts all the emphasis here on Boshes. He dropped the ball on Pagan. And there are different takes on this. The Magen Shlomo was one of the most popular commentaries on Rashi al-Shas. comments that the reason why Rashi left out Pagam is because basically, as far as Pagam is concerned, we're only interested in one element, one factor that diminished her value, so to speak, on the market, and that is the fact that she went from being a Basula to being a Ba'ula. And if you're selling a Shivcha on the market, then if you focus on that element itself, leaving out Boshes entirely, then there's no difference between a Bas Malachim and a Bas Enyotos, meaning there are many different factors and elements that go into the equation of what a person is willing to pay if he's a buyer for a Shivcha. But we're focused now on one particular dimension, one Nekuda, and that Nekuda is that she was taken away from being a Basula, and she now is what? A Ba'ul. And that difference makes, you know, it's not relative at all to her social status and how important she is and so forth and so on. Again, Boshes is a great example of something that's relative to whether she's a Bas Malachim or Bas Adyotis, but in the case of Pagam, which is only a pinpoint, focuses exclusively on the fact that now she became a Ba'ula, and the buyer, you know, he wanted her to be a Basula, he's paying more money for a Basula, that loss, that diminished, that fluctuation in price is absolutely uniform. It doesn't matter what her social status is.
But then all Rav Zera has done is say why Moshe is separate. He hasn't figured out why Pagam is.
So let's ask the following question. And I think, Chaim, this is what you're asking, and this is what bothers my mind after I see this Magini Shlomo. Rabbi Zera has a very good argument from Boshes, but in the case of Pagam, maybe the Pagam is included in the Chamishim. You know, he proves you that it's got to be an additional payment to Boshes because of the subjectivity or the relativity theory of Boshes. And it can't be that it's equal and uniform for all girls. But in the case of Pagam, if Rashi's implying that admittedly that's uniform, that's equal to all girls, and the same Pagam is because of that transition from being a Basul to a Ba'ula, then how do we know, as far as Pagam is concerned, that the Torah meant to impose a Chiyuv Pagam above and beyond the Chamishim Shkolim of the Knas? Is that your question?
Yeah.
So my answer to that question is that there's some sort of an equation between Boshes and Pagam. What do I mean? If I could prove to you, and that's what Reb Zeira is doing, that in addition to the Chamishim Shkolim of Knas, there's an additional payment of Boshes, then willy-nilly, there's going to be an additional payment of Pagam as well. Why? Because all Reb Zeira has to prove to us is that there's an additional parasha of Chovel, and we should not believe for 1 minute, don't entertain the idea that the parasha of Onis and Mefata with its Chamishim Shkolim replaces the parasha of Chovel. In other words, once I prove to you that the 50 Shkolim is not all inclusive, then I go back to the parasha of Chovel and I decide within the context of that parasha what would be the loss and what would be the Chiyuv compensation for that loss. And therefore, Pagam, for sure, again, it's going to be uniform for all girls, but what is exactly the Pagam?
Okay, thank you.
That's what I believe is the Pshat here in the Magini Shlomo. Again, most of what I told you is my own, meaning, I'm not saying it's my own, I think it's what the Magini Shlomo had in mind, but it's not in the words.
Right.
But I think I gave you a good possibility here. Abaye says, no, you can't derive this from Svara. I'm going to prove to you that logic is not going to do it for you in this case. Because if your logic is correct, then what am I going to do with the case of Eved? We said that if a Shar Mu'ad kills an Eved, the payment is 30 Shkolim. 30 Shkolim, and that's set. Not only is that set, and it's absolute, but it's exclusive. There's no other payment. The parasha says in Mishpatim, it says in Eved Yigach Ashar is Kesef Shloshim Shkolim Yitein La Donav. So what are you going to tell me? You're going to tell me, Rabbi Zeira, well, we have to have additional payments under the laws of Chovel B'Chaveiro. Why? Because there's a relativity theory here, and it can't be that Shloshim Shkolim fits, you know, the shoe fits all sizes. You know, you can talk about, you know, maybe you can talk about certain things, you know, fit many different sizes, you know, like things that you wear at the beach or something on your feet, I don't know. But you can't tell me that shoes fit all, one size fits all, right? Everybody wears a different shoe size. So here too, in Eved, every Eved has a different shoe size. You know, the Gemara dramatizes it. Is Yomru Eved Nokev Margolios? He has a very sophisticated talent. You know, he does something that no one really is able to do. He knows how to beauty up a pearl by piercing a hole in the pearl, and it enhances the value of the pearl without destroying the pearl. It's a very sensitive kind of, you need a dexterous hand and a lot of experience. And this Eved is great at this. He deserves a higher salary. And for his death of the Adon, he's going to get the same social shekel that you would give for an Osa Maisa Machash. This is the Tapadaf Mem on the base. The guy knows how to sew. I mean, again, from my perspective, Azariah Berzon, I think I'd pay a lot of money for someone who knows how to sew, because I can't put in a stitch. But the Gemara thinks that that's not a very sophisticated Maisa Uman. Like, for example, you know, you talk about a Malefes Cholamoid. So we say that a Maisa Uman is Osir, but a Maisa Hejav is Mutter. So he's talking about a Tfira, which is a Maisa Hejav. You know, it's any Joe on the street would know how to do this stitching. And he gets Shloshim. So we can give the same amount of Shloshim in the loss of an Eved who was a Mafik, who was a Noke Margolios. The answer must be that there are additional payments, correct? And that's Reb Zeira. But that's not true. There are no any additional payments.
How do we know that? You quoted the Pasuk.
So that's a Mishnah. That's a Mishnah. The question is how the Mishnah knows it. But let me just mention it to the Mishnah. The Mishnah Bava Kama Daf Mem Aleph says the following: Nagach Eved Nosein Shloshim Shloim Beinim Hu Yofa Me'amone Beinim Hu Yofa Dina. It's a funny kind of thing. If you would sell this Eved on the market, he would only bring in a dinar. You know, that's a very small minimum amount of a sum of money. But the other Eved, Nokev Margolios, he brings in mea mona. That's 100 times the price. And the Mishnah goes and says that the same money that the Adon will be paid for the loss of his Eved by the Baal HaShor for an Eved who is an Osa Maisa Machat is going to be paid to the Adon who lost an Eved who is a Nokev Margolios. That's what the Mishnah says. Now,
which Masechet, I'm sorry?
Baba Kama Daf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph.
Baba Kama
Mem Aleph Amud Aleph.
Mem Aleph Amud Aleph. Okay, thank you.
Now again, we'd have to go through the sugya there to see how the Mishnah knows that. You know, again, be nine. But that's a given. You know, Reb Zeira can't deny a Mishnah. The Mishnah is about as outspoken as you can get. And we see that once the Torah set up a kitzvah meaning a set, standard, uniform price for a knas, then that's it. We don't check the individual cases and see maybe we have additional payments. No, that's the knas. Getting back to the case of Onus of Afata, our question again begins, you know, how should I say, it starts again from the top, and that is, how did the Mishnah know that in addition to the payment of Chamishim Shkolim, there's a relative payment of Boshes Ubagam? Ella Amar Reb Zeira. Now, when you see the word Ella in the Gemara, you assume that Reb Zeira is now, you know, he's reorganizing his troops. He's coming with a whole new argument. And that's going to be the real challenge that we have in this sugi, because as I understand it, Rabbi Zeir is really just repeating what he said before, just in different words. I don't know what the Ella Amar Rabbi Zeir is, and you can assume that Abaye is going to attack him with the same attack from an Evan. Ella Amar Rabbi Zeir Ilu Baal Ashnai. Now let me just say by introduction, Rabbi Zeir is looking for a case where one person clearly is creating a greater pgam than another person, and yet they both and yet are you going to tell me that they both pay the same chamishim shkolim? How could that be? So again, until now we've been talking about boshes, and we spoke about the fact that you can't compare in the case of an anusa if she's a bas malachim to a case of a bas hediotos. The boshes is totally different, min akotza l'akotza. But now we're going to focus on pagam. And we're going to talk about what kind of a pagam is created in two different scenarios. We're going to compare and contrast the two different scenarios. And halachically, we're going to come to the conclusion that in both cases, there's a chiv knas of chamishim shkolim. And Rav Zeir is going to say, well, ain't a doma. As far as levels of pagam is concerned, it cannot be the same. It doesn't make any sense. So what's the case? Ilu ba'al eshnayim, echad kedarko v'echad shalo kedarko. So we have two different scenarios of what we call ones umafata. One is called shalo kedarka. Now in the case of shalo kedarka, which in English is called anal intercourse, there's no removal of the basulin, but yet in a certain sense it's even more, I don't know what word to use, dramatic. More of a dramatic of a pagam than be'ilu kedarka. At least be'ilu kedarka is normal, and that's what's going to happen in, you know, in marriage and so forth. But be'ilu shalo kedarka is a real pagam. Now, what's on the other side of the equation, as far as the second boel, let me explain. The first boel did not remove habasulin because his be'ilu was shalo kedarka. He went through a different orifice. So that's called Be'ila and called Tarkula, and he's going to pay Chamishim Shkol because she's a Basula, but at the same time, he leaves room for a future Chiyuv of Knas, of Onus Mefata, because he left the Basula. He didn't impact on the Basula. So in a certain sense, she's still a Basula, but yet the Pagam that she experienced is that much greater. I mean, before the Be'ila Shalom Kedarka, this girl was a perfect, you know, pure Basula, Tara, Batara, and those sorts of, now she had this disgusting act done to her. According to Chazal, that's what Shechem did to Dina, by the way, and that was the terrible maisa. It's really it's a pagam shein kamosa. So Rav Zeir says the following: here are two cases. You've got Reuven who had a beer with her shalo kedarka, and you're going to let him get away with 50 shkolim? I mean, he took a woman who was a total shlema, and he had a be'ila with her, which made her into a paguma. She was never pogum in any sense, in any shape. She was perfect. And now you're going to pay chamishim shkolim. And then for the second guy, who had a lower echelon kind of be'ila, and she was already a paguma, terrible from the first be'ila, which was shalokedaka, and he's going to pay chamishim shkolim. That I understand very well why the second guy, he's a low case scoundrel. Okay, let him get away with chamishim shkolim. But why should that be the same payment for the first scoundrel who was really pogame a shlema? Ilu ba'al eshnayim echad kedarka v'echad shalo kedarka. So the first ba'al came shalo kedarka, and he really, you know, again, because be'ila shalo kedarka is called a be'ila, but and therefore he's chayv knas. But he really was pogame a shlema. He's yomru, and now the second guy is going to pay the same amount of money, get off the hook with the same chamishim shkolim yomru ba'al shlema is chamishim ba'al paguma chamishim. The Rishon who was Baal, a perfectly non-paguma woman, she had no pagam, no blemish whatsoever. Now the second guy is going to get away with the same payment. I mean, after all, I understand why the second guy could get away with the same payment. That makes sense. But the first guy, he's such a scoundrel. His the impact of his be'ilah of shalom kedarka was so profound. How can we let him get away with chamishim shkolim? And therefore, we must assume that there are additional payments here, called them boshes, called them pgam, and that's going to be a relative kind of payment. That's going to depend upon her status and his status and the mavayish and the mispayeshes and the pgam and so forth and so on. Now again, what is Reb Zeira adding to what he said before? That's the question we still have over here.
I don't understand why Shalom Kedarka is begun. Now, I'm not doubting the trauma, but if the begun was defined as basically her dowry value,
exactly how you say it.
Right.
Okay. And she still put him up. In fact, her next husband, her husband, might never know about this Shiloka Dharma. So the Bhagam was defined not as just general trauma, but as something monetary, and I don't see the Bhagam of Shiloka Dharma. Again, trauma, yeah. I mean, I don't...
I think the concept of Bhagam here means, again, I hate to use this coarse language, but it's like sort of like used merchandise. You know, you want to buy something that's brand new. I don't know if you've ever gone to a store and you realize, hey, this is not brand new, or at least it doesn't look brand new. You don't want to pay anything for that. You want something that's sparkling, that's never been blemished in any sense. You know, you buy a car. If you have one scratch on the car, it could affect the price of the car by thousands of dollars because you want a brand new car that's absolutely spiffy and untouched. Now compare that to the second Boel, who again, he may have removed her basula, and that's bad enough, but she's already a paguma. You know, she's no longer, you know, original merchandise, which is called shlema. She's already paguma. But my question, I think, Chaim, is more profound, because I want to know, just in terms of Talmudic discourse, what is Reb Zera adding to what he said in the first round? So there's an entire discussion here.
Oh, no. The first one was Lufia Mit Bayeshet.
Right.
The second one you could say is Lufia Mit Bayesh.
Well, I don't know about that, because again, we're not talking about whether the Mavayish here is an Adam Chashev, an Adam Zol, is an
Adam. No, but we're talking about how he did it. That's why I wanted to say Mavayish. But again, okay, I'd like to hear what you say.
Again, this is not mine. I'm just trying to present to you the Shita Mekubetzes. The Shita Mekubetzes wants to say that we're talking about the difference between a shlema and a paguma in terms of what he calls, quote unquote, shinui haguf.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a great difference, that's what Zev is pointing out here, between hefresh hamala bein bas malach lebas hedyotos. Okay, so let's see if we can figure out what the Shita Mekubetzes is saying. In the first round, Rabbi Zera is talking about the difference in the status of the woman. You know, if she's a bas malachim or a bas hedyotos.
Okay.
That's a status change, or comparing the status. Here, he's talking about the shinui haguf. I'll read to you the language. He says, Rav Zera Mosif, what's Rav Zera adding over here? Lo mistaber, the position of Abaye is not logical. She'ein chiluk bein paguma l'shleima, that we should always charge the same chamishim shkolim, whether she's a paguma or a shleima. She'u dover atoli b'shini aguf. Again, I'm not 100% sure I understand what he means, but at least the words I can translate. There's some sort of physical change here, because of the Be'ila. We're not talking about what the Be'ila impacted in terms of, you know, her status and, you know, her psychological anguish because she's this or she's that. But we're really talking about the goof. She's considered a goof that's now Paguma after the first Be'ila. She's not a Shlema anymore.
Even though in a sense, there may not be any Shinui goof.
Okay, so that I can't answer to you. Again, all I'm trying to do at this point is just sort of conceptually understand the words of the Shita Mekubetzes.
Okay.
You're right. You know, when we get down to the nitty-gritty details and apply it, you know, before with getting... You're right. I don't know exactly what the Shinui Haguf is, but he's saying that the difference between a Paguma and a Shlema is a result of some action that it happened to Haguf.
Okay.
So that the first Boel, because of his attack to Haguf, he changed her status from a shlema to a baguma. V'zeh hevdil rav. That's even a greater difference. Be'asher ha'efresh lamala between a bas malachim and a bas hedyotos. Because that again has nothing to do. I mean, not that it has nothing to do. It's a result of the goof, of the action to the goof. But That's not the change in our goof that we're talking about, but rather the action itself. The action right. itself, which means that she was raped, you know, and now she's a bas malach, and that's a terribly, you know, terrible anguish that she suffers. So that, according to Shita Bubetzes, if Abai is going to have in the second round a slug up against Rav Zeri, he's going to also have to focus on the Shini Aguf. So let's see. Omale Rav Abaye, Ihochi, if you're telling me, Rav Zeri, that because of the Shini Aguf, there's got to be additional payments, it can't be the same standard, 50 shkolim in all cases, even in the case of Shlok Kedaka, and then Kedaka Lagabe Evid Nami, why don't you say the same logic? We have a mission, as we mentioned before, that you always pay for the death of the Evid 30 shkolim. Yomru, how could they possibly say the following? Evid Bari, right, he's a healthy Evid, Shloshim, he pays Shloshim, but Evid Mukashkin, he's very unhealthy, right? He's suffering from all sorts of blemishes in his body. Is shloshim? He should collect the same shloshim? No, here's a shini aguf between a bari and a mukashkin, and yet the same price is being paid. So we don't say that we take the parash of knas and we add it to the parash of chovel, but rather we replace the parash of chovel. And so too, in the case of onus mafata, even in the case of a shini aguf, we should replace the knas parasha should be a replacement of the chavola parasha. And therefore Abai says, Elam or Abai, we have to have a posk, we have to have a yalfusa. What is the yalfusa? So here we have a machlokus between Abai and Rava. Abai says, "Omer Kro." The Torah says in the parasha of Onus, I'll read the whole pasuk. It says, "V'nasan ha'isha shochev ima lavi anara chamishim kesef v'lo siya leisha tachas asher ina." The Torah has just explained that the man had a shechiva with this nara, and therefore he has to pay chamishim kesef. And then the Torah adds tachas asher ina. Why did the Torah have to, you know, dramatize it and say that the 50 shkolim is because of the inui? Now, by the way, inui is not the same as chavola. Chavola are objective changes in our body and our ability to function and what it'll cost to get her back into full health. Inui is just simply the anguish of her change both physically, her change in status. So the Torah wants to tell you that the Chamishim Shkolim is a payment for Inui. And that's according to Abai, is a miu to tell you that we're limiting the nature of Knas to Inui, meaning Knas is relative, but only to one element in the equation. It doesn't replace the Chavola Parsha. But Taksashar Ino, which goes beyond Chavola, that's Chamishim Shkolim. Michlal the Ika Boshes began. Then we must derive from this pasuk that the normal parasha of Chovel applies here as well, which includes Boshes began. That's not included in the Knaskas. The Knas is specifically earmarked for Tachas Asher Ina. So we know that the payment of the Knas is exclusive for Tachas Asher Ina, which means the nature of this beer. Whether it's the Be'ilah of Ones, the Be'ilah of Mafata, and that means that there are Chiyuvim for the Inui, for the Be'ilah. And that's in addition to the regular classic Chiyuvim by Shchobel de Chavero, to replace, you know, her diminishing her value on the market, or for the terrible anguish that she suffered as a result of her embarrassment, and so forth and so on. Rava Amar Amakra, he has a different pasuk. Well, actually, it's the same exact pasuk, but he's emphasizing a different phrase in the pasuk. V'nasana isha shochev ima lavia nara chamishim kasef. And why did the Torah have to add hashochev ima? Those are two extra words. It's telling you that hanah shechiva, that the knas is being earmarked to pay for his hanah shechiva. Which again, that's a little bit strange, because I don't know what a man would pay for hanah shechiva. Would he pay chamishim shkolim? I don't know. That's an awesome sum of money. But I think what the Gemara is trying to point out, Rav is saying that the Chanosh Chiva means that there's a certain element in the equation that's unique to the Be'ila and goes way beyond Chavala. Mm-hmm. Right, Chavala presumably doesn't get any Hanah from beating the living daylights out of his victim, but here he gets Hanah from this victim. Is Mechlal the Ikaboshes Upagam? It must be that there are additional payments under the law of Chavala. Now you'll ask me, V'ema Lidida. Now it's maybe he should be paying the Nara herself, this Knas.
Wait, is this. Okay, yeah. This is actually.
I'm sorry, not this Knas. Did I say Knas? Sorry. Yeah. What I meant to say, V'ema Lidida, maybe the payments. As far as the Knas, so it says, V'nasan ish le'avi hanara, correct? So if you're dealing with the parasha of Onus u'Mefata as a separate parasha of Knas, independent of Chavala, then for sure the Torah went out of its way to tell you that Knas is collected by the father. But now we're talking about Chavala. Chavala, l'chor, is her own, is her own demand, or shall we say, rights to be compensated for her personal boshes upagam, in the case of onus fatzar as well. So how do we know that these tashlumin under the parasha of Chavala, where the Torah doesn't say lavi anara, right? It doesn't say lavi anara. How do you know that those payments accrue to the father? Maybe she deserves to collect boshes upagam. There must be some pasuk that's going to have to tell me that the other payments also go to the father. Amakra. This is a pasuk that we read yesterday, and we read it on Shabbos. Binurea base of the. This is Parshas Matos. This is a parsha of Hafaras Nedar. And the Torah says, Binurea base of Via. The Torah gives you a general rule that she is in the Rishus of Avia. She calls Shvach Nurel Avia. That her father gains all her monetary benefits. He's in charge of everything. And any monies that accrue to her and are coming into her bank account go into his bank account. I mean, it's not even a joint bank account. He owns the bank account. So therefore, in terms of Boshes Pagam, like any other revach, any other profits that she makes, the money goes to her father, because this pasuk is going beyond Hafaras Nedar. Meaning, as far as the Nedar is concerned, the Torah is very outspoken about the ability and the rights of the father to be mefer her nedarim, as long as she's not a bogeris, as long as she's a ketan or a nar. But why did the Torah have to add the Nurea Beis Avia? That goes way beyond the confines of the Torah. And it's telling you that even as far as other monetary payments are concerned, the father is the Bailim, she's in his Rishus, he's in the driver's seat. So now, we'll make a note that tomorrow we want to start with V'ela Hadi Omar Afuna, and we're going to get a little bit into this question of deriving Dini Momentus from the Dorim, and this principle called Binu Rea Beis Avia.